Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Read something online that you yourself did some investigative journalism.
Yeah.
And was it centered around things, like particular things that you've written about in your books, crimes and such?
Well, one crime that I didn't really do much investigative on it, but I followed it along and actually drove my editors a little bit nuts because I wanted to keep at it and they want, you know, go on to other stuff. And it is in that book. It is in the first book, Blood on the Mitten, and it's in a chapter titled A Convenient Confession. So that is the closest I've been to any case in that I covered it for years. Mm. Any case that I've put in my books, I mean.
Okay.
So this was 1996. And it was a woman in Kalkaska, 68 years old, widowed. And she'd worked as a teacher's aide at the local schools. So she knew some kids. And somebody came by, and she was, you know, known to be welcoming. Some kid came in and ended up beating her, molesting her, you know, and then
wow.
And they put her in the trunk of her own car.
Jeez.
And turned it on with the garage door closed, so she ultimately died of asphyxiation.
Uh-huh.
Really horrible, wow. Sad case. But also DNA played a part in it because one young man confessed, mm-hmm. but he made a false confession. But when it came out that the DNA did not match him and corroborated with the fact that he said, I didn't really do it. They had invested a lot, you know, I think had invested a lot in this case being apparently solved.
Uh-huh.
So they continued with him. They tried him. They convicted him. The jury convicted him, even though the DNA did not match him. But their theory was that he had an accomplice, and the accomplice left his DNA all over everything. But he left no DNA.
Mm.
But I've talked to experts, crime scene experts, and they said that murder is such an intimate act. I mean, unless you're a sniper or something like that, you know,
yeah,
killing somebody from far, you're going to leave some DNA at the scene.
Yeah.
You know, if you're strangling, stabbing, beating, whatever,
yeah,
somebody, you're going to leave your DNA there.
Wow. And this particular guy...
But he didn't leave any. And so he was, so anyway, he ended up spending, because 96, and then it was 2013, I think, when he finally got released. But so that was about 17 years. That's my quick math there, yeah, about 17 years. In prison. Now, it's hard to make really him a cause celeb because he was a punk who was in trouble, but he wasn't a murderer.
Mm.
And he would have been in prison for a chunk of that time anyway because he was 18 having sex with his 15-year-old girlfriend. And so he was at the same time serving time for that.
Yeah.
But still, to be branded a murderer And to go through that for 17 years, which was, I think, longer than he would have served for the other. But anyway, because he was when the Michigan, or when the Innocence Project got a hold of the case.
Yeah.
And they had lawyers and law students from U of M and University of Chicago working on it. And they got a judge. They put together a case and asked the judge to mandate that they put the DNA evidence on the nationwide database. That's where they were dragging their feet for all those years. And I would mention that in a story every now and then, but you know, anyway, like, but, and even when I went to freelancing, I still covered it some for Interlochen and Public Radio and others, as things would happen. But anyway, so it was interesting to see him finally, you know, released and having the case, but mostly, you know, having the real killer finally nailed and found out. And he was a guy from who had actually passed a lie detector test early on in the going.
Wow.
So anyway, that's the one that I most, that's the one that I know the best. I mean, that's the one that I just wrote from what I had experienced for the most part, you know, and updated it and whatever. But the other ones were new to me. And I mean, as far as I finding out the details and a lot of interesting cases that I've.
Yeah. with this one that you were just describing, was this one that made national headlines?
It did. It did make statewide and national headlines as well.
Wow.
So it did get, because it was, you know, there were some elements in there that really, that made it unique, and also, you know, kind of really modern, because DNA evidence until I think sometime in the early 90s wasn't even usable.
Really?
It just hadn't advanced far enough to really be of use from what